All right, the final case of the day, Vinsky versus Holder, and I know I've killed that name. You'll have to correct me, Mr. Kreiselman. Did I get your name right? Okay, say your name for me.
Matt Kreiselman.
Kreiselman, okay.
May it please the court, my name is Matthew Kreiselman, and I represent your petitioner, Nazar Baczynski. Mr. Baczynski was denied his request for withholding of removal, CAT relief, and was granted voluntary departure by the immigration judge. The difference between this case and many other immigration cases were that the immigration judge didn't orally issue a decision at the time of the hearing. She noted at the final hearing that she was going to continue the case in order to issue a decision at a later date after she had reviewed the materials. So she actually continued the case for 3 months. However, at that time, 3 days later, she issued a written decision which was addressed to the Council of Record. So that decision denied both those requests for relief. However, that decision granted your petitioner voluntary departure. One condition of the voluntary departure was that your petitioner post a bond within 5 days. Now, that 5 days wasn't the day that he received the decision, but the date of her order. So that decision was sent by regular mail to his counsel of record. However, he only had 5 days from when the decision was sent.
Didn't a regulation mandate that his voluntary departure would be turned into removal if he didn't post the bond? And if that's the case, what does it matter if the board reopened this case or not? What does reopening have to do with anything?
There's no regulation that it mandates. The regulation states that if you appeal an order or you motion to reopen an order of voluntary departure, it's turned into an order of removal. However, the board still had the ability to reinstate that order of voluntary departure, even if they deny the appeal, even if the motion to reopen is denied.
What is it that said that if he didn't post the bond within 5 days, the voluntary departure turned into a removal order? Wasn't that a regulation?
That is a regulation.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
The authority the board has to reopen and to reinstate is discretionary, isn't it?
It is discretionary, Your Honor. However, in this case, the board stated that they didn't, because the bond wasn't posted, they didn't even have the ability to reinstate that order. In this case, this court has jurisdiction because it's a question of law under the Real ID Act, whether or not the Board of Immigration Appeals had the actual ability to reinstate that grant of voluntary departure. In their decision denying the motion to reconsider, they stated that because the bond wasn't posted, they didn't even have that ability.
How do they get that ability? I mean, what is the legal challenge to their view that they didn't have the ability to reinstate the voluntary departure?
They were following a case called Matter of Velasco,
right?
Where basically they stated that if the bond wasn't posted, that the voluntary departure order was no longer there. The voluntary departure order was contingent on that bond being posted. However, in this case, he didn't even have the chance to post the voluntary departure order, because that decision was sent to him
I guess
mail.
What I'm trying to get at is, what's legally wrong with that? What does it violate? Does it violate a statute, a reg, the Constitution, what?
Well, it violates his rights to know the judge granted him the voluntary departure.
Right.
It is a discretionary grant. However, he wasn't able to take the judge up on their offer of that grant of voluntary departure.
Well, I'm having a little difficulty with that, because the notice did get to the attorney for the petitioner here on the fourth of the 5 days, didn't it?
It did get to the attorney, yes.
What is there that shows that I know that's a short period of time, but that wasn't sufficient time to post the $500 bond?
It's not clear whether or not that was sufficient time or not. However, the regulations state that the judge should give the respondent, at the time he was a respondent, the ability 5 days to post the bond in order to get the money together. $500 for someone who's here possibly illegally, could be a lot of money for someone to get together at the last minute. He thought maybe he had 3 months, which was the amount of time the judge had continued the case for, to maybe put together money in case there was an order of voluntary departure. He didn't even have that ability.
But what is the evidence about his notice, his receiving notice of the, I understand the lawyer got it on the fourth day, but what about Mr. Bujinski? Was there any evidence in the record about when previous counsel informed him?
There was no evidence in the record regarding when the counsel informed him. What I wanted to get to, the whole, right now, the new regulations, which we state should apply in this case, are that the immigration judge has to fully inform a respondent of his duties under a grant of voluntary departure. There's a recent case out of the Board of Immigration Appeals, Matter of Gamero, which states that if these advisals aren't given, these advisals which are now required under the immigration regulations, that the board has to remand the case so that these proper advisals can be given.
And that makes a lot of sense, but those regulations weren't made retroactive, were they?
They weren't made. It's unclear whether they were made retroactive or not, as his case was still pending at the time these regulations were instituted. In the Federal Register, the rule stating the new rule stating the regulations, the Federal Register stated that it applied to any case pending before EOIR. This case was still pending before EOIR. There wasn't a final Board of Immigration Appeals decision at the time they declined to reinstate the grant of voluntary departure. There was a case in the meantime, Matter of Velasco, which found this case came before the board. It was a non-adversarial joint motion to reopen by petitioner and respond and by the respondent and the government in order to take away a grant of voluntary departure. In that case, that's where they interpreted the regulations to find that it wouldn't apply to people who had cases
pending. That was a different regulation.
Time.
It was a related but different regulation, wasn't it, that was under consideration in Velasco?
Well, in Velasco, the Board of Immigration Appeals states that was the previous regulation, which they're stating applies to this case.
What is the language that you say makes – when did the new regulation become effective? You had some language.
The new regulation became effective on January 20th, 2009.
But what did it apply to?
It applied to cases in the rule. It stated that it applied to cases pending before the Executive Office of Immigration Review, which includes the immigration courts and the Board of Immigration Appeals. And this final decision came out in January of 2010. So in this case, there's another Board of Immigration Appeals case which specifically deals with voluntary departure. It deals with pre-hearing voluntary departure, which is a separate section of voluntary departure. This is Matter of Cordova, where the Board of Immigration Appeals recognized how important it was for aliens to be fully advised of their rights under a grant of voluntary departure. In this case, it shouldn't make a difference that it was pre-hearing as opposed to post-hearing voluntary departure, because they stated that to ensure that the voluntary departure tool is utilized, the alien has to be it's critical that they're informed of the requirements for the relief as well as their apparent eligibility for the relief, and that they be given the opportunity to apply this relief in a timely manner. In this instance, the immigration judge, the immigration court, didn't allow your petitioner the chance to apply for the relief in a timely manner. I reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Mr. Mack.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Greg Mack, counsel for the respondent, the Attorney General of the United States. The court should dismiss this petition for review because it touches and concerns a grant of denial of voluntary departure. And the Immigration and Nationality Act specifically says that decisions concerning the merits of voluntary departure,
we're not being asked to look at it. Basically, the petitioner wants the immigration judge's opinion to be reinstated, right? No one's challenging any discretionary decision.
No, but it touches and concerns voluntary departure, and the statute is pretty clear that decisions that touch and concern voluntary departure, the court lacks jurisdiction. However, the Real ID Act did preserve legal and constitutional questions. They're legal questions, I understand. It wants the board to revive that which has already been terminated. There's nothing to revive for this. There's nothing for this court to revive since voluntary departure was automatically and appropriately terminated because he failed to post the bond within the 5-day period. So there's nothing that the board or that this court, for that matter, from a legal or equitable perspective, can do to revive that which has been terminated automatically and appropriately by the regulation. Now, petitioner points to a matter of Velasquez to say that anything that's pending before the Executive Office for Immigration Review, the new regulation applies in that regard. But the matter of Velasco decision specifically says we're not going to apply that new regulation to old cases. The new regulation applies only prospectively. And we pointed out in our brief that issue with respect to matter of Velasco and asked the court to defer the board's decision in matter of Velasco. It's true that the language in the proposed regulation said we will deal with cases that are pending before the Executive Office for Immigration Review, but that regulation later says, points to an example involving a case pending before an immigration judge before the regulation becomes effective. And the board in Velasco says, because that example was given in the regulations, we're only going to give this regulation prospective review. So there isn't a retroactive effect with respect to this new regulation. And it's a bit of an odd argument to make that the new regulation should apply. I think they have to be careful in this regard, because if the new regulation applies, as soon as you file a petition for review, it extinguishes voluntary departure. If you file a motion to reopen or reconsider, voluntary departure expires. So if you ask for the old regulation to apply, or excuse me, the new regulation to apply, you have to take the consequences that bear upon you with respect to the application of the new regulation. If the new regulation applies and you file a petition for review, voluntary departure is terminated. So again, here, you cannot revive that which has been terminated. It was terminated automatically and appropriately by the failure to post the bond within
so
the 5 years.
So have you ever seen a case where the immigration judge's opinion miscarried and was never delivered? And, I mean, this is a case in which it was delivered to the lawyer on day 4. It could have easily been never delivered or delivered to the lawyer on day 6. Has there ever been such a case?
I'm sure there have been those sorts of cases. I'm sure litigants bring those sorts of cases. I haven't personally seen that sort of case. And I think it was, we pointed out in our brief, lots of folks blame the post office for lots of things. But that has nothing to do with the immigration judge, what the immigration judge did here and what the board did here. Litigants have an obligation to review their dockets.
That's interesting. I mean, how do you review the docket? What do you have to physically do?
You can call the immigration court. There's a 1-800 number you can call to check and see if there's been decision or activity in your case. You can certainly go to the Chicago Immigration Court. If you're counsel of record, you can go to the docket and check the docket in that regard. So there are things that you can physically do by calling or personally stepping up to the docket window and figuring out what's going on with your case. And certainly where the immigration judge here says, I'll call you back on a certain date for that hearing, and certainly if I don't, if you get it, you obviously got the decision. That should put you on notice that you should keep your eyes and ears open with respect to what you should be doing in the case. And
so, so your position would be that it shouldn't affect our analysis whether he got it the 13th or whether he got it at all.
Well, it should affect it in terms of certainly they're entitled to notice, and that notice was given to his counsel because it was mailed to him, and it was certainly issued. But it shouldn't affect your analysis. What your analysis should be affected by was the bond posted. Bond was not posted. They can come up with all sorts of arguments with respect to why it wasn't posted, but the issue is, was bond posted? Because they're asking for the revival of voluntary departure. That, as I recall their briefs and as I recall the petition, they didn't ask for a reinstatement of the immigration judge's decision. They didn't ask the board to reinstate. I'm willing to stand corrected, but I don't recall them saying have the board reinstate the decision or have the immigration judge issue a new decision. They want voluntary departure. Voluntary departure was terminated when they didn't post bond. There's nothing the court can do legally or equitably to revive something that's been terminated.
As more and more courts are moving into the electronic age and giving notice, is there any move afoot for these kinds of cases to get electronic notices out other than snail mail?
Well, as I said, they have the 1-800 number that litigants can call. I'm not aware of any. As we know, the federal government's under tight fiscal constraints.
I was just curious.
Yeah, there's nothing to my knowledge that they're moving forward in with respect to electronic notices.
When you call the 1-800 number, does somebody answer?
No, it's an automated.
It's automated?
It's an automated voice.
And what do you
do? If there's been activity.
And then what do? You just type in your case number?
Yeah, when you first call in, it asks you for the alien's A number. You type that in. It confirms that this is the alien's name you're asking for, and then it'll give you there's a hearing date or there was a hearing occur, or the immigration judge issued a decision on a particular date.
And anybody can have access to that?
As long as you have the phone number and the A number. There's no further questions we'd submit. We ask the court to deny the petition for review. Thank you.
Mr. Kreiselman.
Thank you, Your Honors. We submit that this court does have jurisdiction under the Real ID Act because it is a question of law whether or not the Board of Immigration Appeals has the ability to reinstate this order of voluntary departure. In matter of Gamero, the Board of Immigration Appeals directly found that when these advisals regarding voluntary departure weren't given, they were in a position to reinstate the order of voluntary departure. All we're asking in this case is that the Board of Immigration Appeals is directed that they have the ability to reinstate the voluntary departure, the order of voluntary departure, the grant of voluntary departure at this time, because the alien wasn't given his advisals correctly as to his rights and responsibilities under voluntary departure. Opposing counsel stated that your petitioner had the ability to check the docket. Under this case, he thought that his case was going to be continued for 3 months. So beginning the next day, does he really have the need to have to call into the system every single day until he hears something up until the date of his hearing? I don't know if that's ever a responsibility that an alien has under the statute or even his attorney. It would put an undue burden on any respondent who's before the immigration court if they're constantly having to check up every single day to see if there's a decision, especially in a situation such as this where you only have 5 days to post voluntary departure bond. Also, that system, just noting from experience, it isn't updated every single day. Generally it is, but there's times when you have to wait a day or two for that information to get into the system. It's definitely not in there the day of the decision. Sometimes the next day, but not always.
Do you know if Mr. Baczynski is still here?
I'm actually not aware at this time, but that's not germane to this petition for review right now.
Just curious.
Yeah, I'm not sure at this time. What happens to Mr. Baczynski if he's not granted voluntary departure is this order of removal takes effect, and he isn't able to return to the United States for 10 years based on that order of removal. So it does harm him. He merely wishes the ability to have this order of removal reinstated so that he does have the opportunity to return to the United States at some time. He's not appealing the denial of his request for relief before the immigration court. Merely he's asking for this grant of voluntary departure to be reinstated where he wasn't fully advised of his rights and responsibilities under that grant.
We'd have to distinguish Velasco some way.
This court would probably have to find that Velasco was wrongly decided. If there are no further questions, we ask that this petition for review be granted and the Board of Immigration Appeals be directed that they are able to reinstate the grant of voluntary departure.
Thank you, Your Honor. Fine briefs and oral argument. We'll take the case under advisement. Court will stand in recess.